So how many feel good today? How many believe that God is good today? So we often talk about the goodness of God and how great God is. And we often say God is good because we would never say otherwise, right? Would we ever say otherwise? Would anybody ever say God's really bad? God's really bad. No, we always say God is good. And there is a certain belief system in us to believe that God is good. But the truth is there are times in our life that we're not really sure whether God is good or not. Is that the truth? There are times that I've questioned. Not only is God good, but is God present? Where are you, God? Where are you at? Am I the only one that's ever done that? We got some spiritual people up in here, man. Nobody's ever amazing people. So I'll just preach to myself. Sometimes I've had questions about God. You have left me. You have left me. You've abandoned me, God. And so today I just want to talk about our belief system of how good God is. And I don't know that when we ask that question, how good is God? And we used to sing these songs, and I sang them first service, and nobody knew them, and that was some of our older people. So I'm sure nobody knows it here, but I'm going to sing anyway. We used to sing a song, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me. Anybody know that song? My soul cries out, hallelujah. I see some people singing it. Praise God for saving me. And then we used to sing, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. Y'all are like, please don't sing. It's always better for me to sing without the keys. That way I'm always on key. So, but God's been good to us. He has been good to us. And we sing these songs. We hear these words. But I think sometimes we really don't have a true understanding of God is really good. Because even in our songs, our central focus is is the idea of what God has done for me. What God has done for me. And sometimes we don't feel like God's doing for us. So we measure his goodness sometimes by what God is doing for me at the present moment, at this present moment. But Psalms 34 in verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you to say that with me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed the man who takes refuge in him. And the King James Version says, blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God's goodness is always beyond our ability to comprehend, but it's not beyond our ability to experience. And the issue is this whole goodness of God, it comes from a true experience with God. And sometimes I love church, and I'm always about coming to church, and I like to go to church. I like to go to other people's churches. I like to go to church. I enjoy church. But so understand what I'm about to say. A lot of times our experience of God being good has a lot to do with our relationship of what goes on in church. We have good music, we have good singing, we have good preaching, we got good people at the door, we got a good children's department, we got a good nursery, and we have an atmosphere that's good, and we say, well, God is really good. But some days the singing's off, and some days the preaching's not its best, and some days maybe nobody said hello to you as you walked in. But God is still good. Amen. God is still good. There's this unexplainable joy that comes from having a true encounter with God. It's an encounter with God. It's a place that I personally have experienced this good God. And when our heart becomes connected with the goodness of God, it changes our entire perception of how we see God. It changes how we believe. It changes how we walk. It changes how we talk. when we have this experience, personal experience with God, it changes how we spend our time even with God, how we approach God. I know there's people in here today who have been healed, and they've been healed of some major things in their life. And I was using Eddie Joe for example in the first service, because after all the years of knowing him, I never knew this story about him getting healed. But when somebody's been healed and God's shown their love to them through healing like that, there's no way that you could ever convince him that God's not a healer. Because it's an experience that he's experienced himself. When the doctors and everybody said, you're not going to be healed, you cannot take away from him that God is good in the area of healing. He's experienced that. But sometimes our approach to God is so conditional on life changes and things that go on in our life. Notice the scripture said, taste and see. Taste and see. Out of our five senses, we often don't taste, then see. We do other things. We touch, we smell, we see, we examine. And if all of those things seem good, then we taste, right? Like if it smells good, then I taste it. If it looks good, I'll taste it. We were cooking the other night, and somebody showed up where we were cooking, and they was like, "Whoo! I don't know if it's going to taste good, but it smells good." The truth is, they was already thinking about how good it was going to taste, because I smelled it. I was smelling that aroma. And oftentimes in our life, in our spiritual life, We don't understand what it means why the Lord said, taste, then see. Revelation comes from tasting and knowing. When you've experienced something, you know. You know, you've tasted it, you know. It's good. It's good. And God is good. God is awesome. God is amazing. God's just blows my mind. Come here. Do you trust me? Well, you didn't say that with much faith. Do you trust me?
Yes.
Okay, trust me. Good, because I'm just to blindfold you. You know, we walk through life sometimes really kind of blind. We don't know everything that's around the next corner, and we don't know what's going to happen next. It's a level of faith that we walk in because we can't see everything. We don't experience everything. But the scripture said, taste and then see that the Lord is good. I want you to reach your hand right in here, and I want you to, there's something there, I want you to just get that out. Go ahead and reach in there, and I want you to taste that. Well, let me get your little, there you go. It's pretty good, Aunt. You want another one? Taste and see that the Lord is good. He had no idea what he was about to put in his mouth. And before he had the opportunity to understand. Now, I want you to kind of tell me, what's that taste like?
Chocolate.
Chocolate?
Yeah.
Good chocolate, right?
Oh, yeah.
Any other flavors in there?
Maybe caramel?
Oh, yeah, you're right on the money. Anything really just pops out?
Chocolate.
A little salt? Did you taste a little salt?
I did, yeah.
A little salt?
Yeah.
Wasn't that good?
Oh, yeah, really.
Yeah. Are you craving some more?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You will really be craving it tonight. But you're not getting the rest of them. Because I'm not God. I'm not that good. Taste and see. Taste and see. There's a revelation that comes from tasting the goodness of God.
Right.
And these caramels, these salted caramels are just amazing. And once you've tasted them, you will have a craving for them. I mean, those things are good. You want one?
Okay.
You want one?
You don't even have to ask. I'm going to take two.
Some people are just greedy. Taste and see. Taste. You don't even have any idea how good these are.
Yes, we do. I bought those before.
So you already know how good they are. So you would like some then, wouldn't you? You'd like one right now. Why? Because you've experienced them. And you knew when he put that in his mouth, you had already experienced it. You were already craving more of that. I want more because that's good. I've tasted it. And because you're good, I'll let you have one. Look at that face. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's really faith when we understand that God's goodness will always do something supernatural in our life. But we cannot understand that experience until we have walked into that place of intimacy with God and that place where we have tasted Him. Then as we walk through life, we don't have to have the visual part of our eyes working, because there's a trust level that we've spent time with God. And when He says, "I am good," it doesn't matter what storms we're walking through. It doesn't matter what situations we're walking through. It doesn't matter how good times are, how bad times are. We have already experienced the goodness of God. It was a few months ago that I went by Michelle's house, and she had went to Costco, and she had picked up a bucket of these awesome sea salt caramels with dark chocolate on, and I tasted of them. And when I tasted of them, I said, "Oh, bless God, I will be driving to Baton Rouge today." There was an anointing that came over me because I had experienced this. I remember just a few days ago, we traveled to Mexico, and I stopped, and I got a jar of these, and I just put them in the car. I really, be honest with you, I was kind of just, they were kind of be my little treat. And then my pastor friend, Jeff Ramsey, who loves to eat, put that on video. I hope he watches it. He loves food. He was digging, first thing he did, 6 o'clock in the morning, he starts digging around in my car, and he goes, "What are these?" And I said, "They're terrible. Don't eat any." Because I knew that if he tasted them, it was over with. And before we could even get through the second day, they were gone. They were a history. They were all, I was like, "Whoa." So we got two of those. One to put in the bag where nobody could see, and the other to share. Taste. There's something that happens in the middle of the night when you wake up. Thank you. You can take that off. You wake up with a craving for something that you have tasted, something you've experienced. And God will move you to a place where you feel His presence. You know that He's near, and that God's goodness is always the same. I've tasted. He's good. It brings revelation. It brings understanding. It brings wisdom. It's something that you've experienced for yourself. This is not the kind of trust that comes from us knowing intellectually or being raised up in some kind of religious upbringing. And we've been taught in Sunday school, and we've been taught in church, and we've been taught the Word of God, and we get it intellectually. We know that we've heard that God is good. But it's not until we experience the goodness of God that we truly understand that. And it's not till we experience times when life is difficult and God has brought us through the test, He's brought us through the trial, He's brought us through those things, that we can trust in Him because we've experienced that God is good. That's why the Scripture says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Take refuge in the Lord." Where am I going to go to? I've experienced God. When times get tough, I'm going to that rock. I'm going to that refuge. I'm going to that place of goodness. I'm going to that place of protection. I'm going to that place. But we have to trust God enough to take the taste test. This young man trusted me enough to know that I was going to have him some worms and something nasty in there. Because I told him it was good. So he trusted that when he reached in there and he put that in his mouth, that it was going to be good. It was a level of trust. to experience that changes our whole experience with God. You can know truth, but never experience the power of truth. But when we've tasted the goodness of God, we no longer want or desire some substitute. There's no substitute for this. There's no substitute for the goodness of God. There's no substitute for the peace of God. There's no substitute for the joy of the Lord. There's no substitute for those things. I gave somebody one of those in the first service, and then they said they didn't eat it because they didn't like caramel. I said, you need deliverance. Something's wrong if you don't like caramel. That's something wrong with that. Because you know what? I'm a believer. There's something inside of me that's I'm a believer. And you can't tell me that it's not good because I've experienced it for myself. Am I making any sense to anybody today? But we want more of the goodness of God. We have to learn how to apply His goodness to everything in our life. We don't need to make excuses. We don't need to say, well, God is good some of the time. And I hear people say, well, you know, God is sovereign. And I know when they're saying that, when we're talking about somebody being healed, well, God is sovereign. They're getting ready to make an excuse why God didn't heal somebody. Well, God is sovereign. No, God is good. God is good all the time. Yes, He is sovereign, but I don't need to make an excuse for God. He's good. If it don't go my way, the things that I, but there's something, God's goodness is always going to be there. He's got a plan that's for me that's good. Are y'all with me today? God doesn't do things to us to try to tempt us. God is not going to put something in front of you. I want to tempt you. God doesn't tempt us. God doesn't try to see if we can make it through this hard time. Look, I don't know where I learned this, but growing up somewhere in church, I always, you know, like, we're going through the trials and God's going to test us and try us. No, that's not true. Life happens. Life just happens. And we have to learn that when life is happening, that God is good. That would be like God, like the story I heard of the man who told his son to climb to the top of the bleachers. And he climbed up to the top of the bleachers and he opened his hands and he said, jump! And his son leaped from the top of the bleachers and he moved out of the way and let him hit the ground. Said, I wanted to teach you young in life, never trust anybody. Now, what kind of God would that be? What kind of father is that that would say, hey, I wanted to teach you a lesson? But he's the kind of father that says, when you jump and you hit the ground, I didn't ask you to jump. I wasn't tempting you, but I'm there to pick you up when life happens. When difficult things happen, when situations happen, I'm there for you. I am good. I'm good. There's, you know, sometimes we blame God for things that it's not God's fault. Let me take that a step further, too. Sometimes we blame the devil for things that ain't the devil's fault. We over-spiritualize a lot of things. If I drive down this road and I run off the road and I hit a tree, that's not going to be good. But God's good. If I take a watermelon and I drop it from the top of a building, it's going to splatter. It's called the law of gravity. It just happens. And in all of these things that God has put into play, well, sometimes we think God is angry or mad or upset with us. And so we judge the goodness of God based on what we're going through at that particular time. I'm here to tell you today, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what disappointments you have, no matter what people do to you, that God has not changed. He's always, always, always good. Amen. He's always good. He's always good. But you have to experience that for yourself. To say that God does evil undermines the very love that He has for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son to die on the cross so that we might have life. And to think that God loves us less is to undermine our very hope of salvation. To think that God is testing us and trying us and putting us through the fire. You know, we have, I said this in first service, and I want to say it just a little bit different because There, sometimes we have this desperation, but it's not, and there's a good desperation. And what I mean by a good desperation is that we're so in love with God, we're desperate for more, and we're so understanding of His goodness, we want more. That's a good desperation, but a lot of times our desperation is really more like the idea of begging. It's kind of like a poverty mentality of the greatness of God. And so when we're going through life situations, we're not just approaching the throne room of God with belief of His goodness, but we're coming almost like beggars. Beggars. Oh, God, please, God. Please, God. It's almost a hopeless prayer. Because in this one sense, we want God to come through, but in the back of our mind somewhere, we feel like, well, God, I have not been good enough for You to answer this prayer. God, I've not achieved enough. I'm not, my prayer life up to this day, was it good enough for You to answer this prayer? My life, was it good enough for You to love me? I got these flaws and these problems, and I know, God, You wouldn't really do this for me, but I'm asking You just out of the mercy, God, please, God, please, God, please, God. That's a whole different approach when you've experienced the goodness of God and you walk into the presence of God. You say, God, regardless of where I'm at, regardless of what I've done, God, You change not, and You love me with a crazy kind of love. And I'm coming before Your throne, God. I'm coming before Your presence. When God draws us by His convicting power to His presence, when there's conviction in our life because of wrong we've done, that conviction is not to beat us down, to condemn us, or to hurt us, but that conviction only leads us to know His goodness even more. His goodness leads us to repentance. It draws us to Him so that we understand how great He really is. And I want to break that old stronghold today that I'm not good enough for God, so I can't approach His throne because I've not done everything just perfect. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you, if you're looking for a church where everybody's good, you're probably at the wrong church. You know, most of all of us in here have some stuff in our life that we're dealing with. If you're looking for a pastor who's super spiritual, I'm not that guy. I have bad days. But if you're looking for a place where we can say that we know that God is good regardless. Amen. Regardless. That God is good on the good days and on the bad days. That this goodness of God is not a roller coaster, and God's not having good days and bad days, and He's not judging us for good days and bad days. He loves us with so much love. He's always good. He's always after our heart. He's always wanting to bless us. He's always wanting to heal us. He's always wanting to bring life to us. Amen. I told you the story, I think it was last Sunday, I told you about putting my kids in time out. I didn't get to finish that. We put our kids in time out, and I forgot about them. It's like, let's put you over in the corner and forget about you. Listen, I don't think God has a time out. I think God, what God wants is time in. Time in to an intimate place. Come on, when life is bad and you're feeling like I'm struggling, He says, come to Me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. We preach that scripture out of context where it says, God will not put more on you than you can bear. It's like God's just loading us up, like with the pressures of life to see what all we can handle. Like we're some kind of spiritual pack mule, and God wants to see, how much can I burden you with? But my Bible says His yoke is easy. His burden is light. God's good. God is good. And He wants to take those heavy weights off of you. He wants, you know what, most of the things that we're loaded down with is stuff that we put on ourselves. And the reason we're carrying the stuff that we put on ourselves is because we still haven't tasted to see that the Lord is good. And we think, well, I did this to myself, so I deserve what I get. Oh, Lord, I'm glad we don't deserve what we get. I'm glad God's goodness takes off the things that we deserve, and His goodness pours His love on us. And while we were yet sinners, He still loved us. His goodness. His goodness. And so our very approach to God can change when we understand His goodness. Now we come boldly to the throne room of God. No matter how bad the day's been, no matter how tough the situation is, I come boldly to a good God who is eager. I've tasted him. I know that he's real. I know that he loves me. I know that he cares about me. I long for his presence. I long to be with him. I long to hear his voice. I long for his correction. I long for his love. I long for his peace. I long for his joy. I want more. I have a revelation of who he is. He's good. He's good. And he's good all the time. He's good all the time. Praise team, you can come. God's love is so amazing. So amazing. So amazing. So amazing. He says, I change not. I'm the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Here's a question I have to ask you. Can you remember the time in your life when you thought God's goodness was overwhelming? It just was just... Come on, think a little bit. Can you remember those moments when God's goodness was just overtook you? Just overtook you. Let me tell you something. That's his goodness all the time. That's his goodness all the time. And that experience is the experience that you use to approach God. In every situation. Through every place that you walk through. Through every pain. If there's correction in your life, the Bible says, tells us that God chastises those he loves. If there's correction in your life, it's birthed out of the goodness of God. Amen. Not anger. He's not going to put you in time out and forget about you. He's not going to break your arm so he can heal it. He's not going to beat you around and abuse you so that you will love him. That's not love. He doesn't put us in a headlock and say, love me or else. That's not love. He draws us with his goodness. He draws us with his greatness. He draws us with his promise. Every promise of God is mine. I want you to say that today. Every promise of God is mine. Well, Pastor, wait a minute. You don't understand the things in my life. It doesn't matter. His goodness is for you. His promise is mine. When he said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted, that's yours. When he said, I've come to heal those that are sick, that's yours. Every promise. If there's one thing that I can't stand, that I despise, And that's when ministry and when people pour condemnation out on people. And make us feel unworthy and a nobody. And any time that you feel condemnation That's not from God. He never condemns. Shame and guilt are not his tools to repentance. But peace, joy, love, blessing. If I'd have had in this bucket today some old nasty, I don't know, I can't think of anything nasty enough, some chocolate covered cockroaches. There wouldn't have been a whole lot of people saying, hey, pastor, give me one of those. Hey, let me put my hand in that jar. But because it's goodness, it's contagious. We want more. And God never runs out. I only got a few left, and I'm not sharing them with nobody else because I'm not God. But God never runs out. His bucket's not going to get empty. His goodness is not going to get low. We're not going to have to run down to Costco and refill. But I want to tell you something else. You don't have to come to church. Come to church to refill on His goodness. Because His goodness is every moment of every day. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, wherever you failed, wherever life leads you, His goodness is always there. His goodness is always there.